trust you, God. You are worthy. Praise your name, Jesus.
What a model we just sang. I trust the Lord, right? That's the model of your heart this morning, I pray. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he answered. It doesn't say when, but he's gonna answer you, church. He's gonna answer us, church, if you only seek him and trust him. Is there a witness in the house this morning about that? Is there a witness? Whatever you're going through, whatever situation you're in battle with, whatever it is, the model has just been given to you this morning, church. Not only for those in the house, but online, the model is if you just seek him and trust him, he's going to answer. It may not be that answer that you're seeking, but it's going to be the answer that you need. And that's all I need. And I challenge Cross Point Church today just to do exactly what we just proclaimed in song. I sought the Lord. He heard me and he answered. And when you're not feeling the answer, seek him some more. If you're still not feeling the answer, seek him and trust him some more. If you're still not feeling it, seek him and trust him some more. Continue to seek and trust in church. I am a living testimony that it never fails. And I know many, if not all of you, have the same testimony. And if that's you today, give a praise offering that you mean it to heaven. I trust you, Lord. Church, join with me this morning. Raise a hand to heaven and say, Lord God, I trust you. Father God, in Jesus' name, I trust you today. Lord God, I don't need to hear it with my physical ears. I don't need to see it with my physical eyes. Lord God in heaven, I trust you. And I'll seek you. I'll wait for that answer. And I'll seek you some more, Lord God, today in this church. Lord God, flood us with your power. Lord, you know there's people that walked in here today that needs to hear from you. That they sought refuge here at Cross Point Church, or they turned on their device seeking an answer. Lord God, that's trust. I know some of them that came in today. Lord God, I pray that they do exactly what we sang about. I pray, Lord God, that you're speaking to them right now. I pray, Lord God, that you speak to their spirit that they need to seek you. And you'll answer. I thank you, Lord God, that you have answered me every single time that I have sought you. Lord God, thank you. Lord God, I know you're not done. And I pray, Lord God, you reveal yourself in a mighty way to everybody here today or online that needs to hear from heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody look at the next person and say, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He's answering you today. Thank you, sir. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Are you free today? Amen. Woo, come on. Somebody, are you free today? Amen. Yes, there's the Church of Jesus Christ at Cross Point. Welcome in the house. Welcome watching online today. We are so appreciative that you decided to come in to Cross Point Church and join us. If you're listening to the podcast throughout the week in your car or wherever you listen to the podcast from Cross Point Church, from today's message, well, thank you for doing that as well. I want to say something. We come in really early on Sunday mornings to get ready for you. And the teams that are involved in Sunday mornings, they come in, and I just dropped off Nicole when we were coming in early, and I parked the truck, and I was getting in, and I saw the people walking in to the church. And, you know, I have to tell you something, church. I am just been overwhelmed with gratitude this morning, probably more than ever, because there's people in this church that serve and serve in a mighty way, and they get up on a Sunday or they get up early on a Saturday or they go do something, and I just want to say from the pastor, thank you so much, because you are the reason the Church of Jesus Christ moves forward. Thank you. Thank you. I just feel so free today. And I know some of the graduates that we're going to honor today feel free. They feel free. They're finally done, right? This has been the lowest graduating class that we've had here at Cross Point Church in a long time. We must be between classes, right? We have one graduating that had graduated from college. We had one that graduated from high school. And I want to just mention them this morning, if you don't mind, graduation Sunday. Congratulations to the class of 2024. Give them a praise, round of applause, and let them know thank you. If you have graduated high school, you know how difficult that is. If you've graduated college, you know how much difficult that is. And on to higher education, it just is, or any type of education, whether it's a certificate of achievement, whatever it may be, it takes effort. And I just think every year it's the right thing to do, and most churches do. We just want to honor the graduates. Now, the first graduate I want to honor, she couldn't even be here because she's on a summer road trip of vacation, right? So I want to congratulate Anna Gibbs, who, although she could not be here this morning, we want to honor her. We will honor her with a gift when she returns. Anna graduated from Glen Oak High School here just not too long ago. I was really impressed because Glen Oak had their graduation during the week in the evening in the stadium. And I thought that was really unique because usually it's like on a Saturday or Sunday, but they did it midweek. You know, I thought it was a Thursday night, May 21st. But she graduated. We'll have a special gift for Anna when she returns. I just hope, Anna, you're watching this morning. We just want to say, as your Cross Point Church family, we love you. And we thank you, and we honor you for your achievement, heading off to Altman College to study, I believe, what is it, radiology? Yep, that's what she's going to do, radiology, you know. And I know there's people in our church that have graduated from that or are in that program right now, and that's a very demanding program. So, church, when you see Anna around the church, just love on her and bless her because she's going to go down the road that's going to be quite challenging, more challenging than high school, right? So, Anna, we congratulate you this morning. Hallelujah. Yep. Thank you. Now we have another one that we're going to honor this morning. Now, many of you, if not most of you, all of you know the story of LG, no longer Balad, but now Abel, right? You know, we know the story of LG. She came from Haiti and she came up here to go to college at Malone University on a four-year program, although she finished her program in a measly 3 years, right? So I want to honor her today. She is going to head out to medical school down the road, not this fall, but in the future. And, you know, there's the picture of her when she got here. And she's been with us for 2 years. LG, would you come up here? We would like to love on you this morning. Thank you. Are you getting taller, right, you know? Look at that. See, it's the hair, right? LG, you have just been a blessing to Cross Point Church. She has been a blessing. She came in. She took over our youth program. She rallied a lot of the Malone students to do the same. She studied. She got done school early. She ran off and got married. She's done all those things. Stand up. To there's her husband, Noah, right there. Noah is one of those that serve in our ministries here. He serves in the sound booth with Ryan, and we are honored that we want to bless you this morning with a special gift. This is God's promises for the graduates of 2024 with a card from your church. We love you. Thank you so much, LG, and congratulations. Thank you so much. I should have had my wife come up here. Thank you. I'm sorry, dear. She does her own thing. I just heard Pastor Mike says, my wife does her own thing. Yes. Guys, if you have a wife that does her own thing, say amen, Pastor. Yeah, see there. Oh, LG's husband says that, amen. Wow. I don't know about you folks, but I think it's been really hot. Whew. Has it not been stifling? Right? 95 degrees yesterday or so. It's 94 and the crazy pastor went out and played a baseball game yesterday morning. It was 110 on the turf, and oh, it was warm. It was just a little, you know, what happens when it gets really hot like that during the summertime is people make this decision to go on vacation. We've got many in the church today on vacation, and many going on vacation, and many coming back from vacation to sometime. is the vacation time, especially up north, right? We get the warm weather, kids are out of school, they graduated and whatnot, and they take off for vacation. And what's the feeling when you do that? Freedom. We are free. You know, you got feeling when you're leaving town, whether you're flying on vacation or driving on vacation, or maybe you do what my wife and I love to do. We do these staycations, right? We say we're going on vacation, and what's that mean? It's just the freedom of we don't have to show up for an appointment. We don't have to go to whatever. We just get to do something for a week or so that is just staycation and just relax and stay home. We do that around the Christmas time, right? We take a staycation in between the holidays and just kind of relax. But regardless of how you do it, you know, you're doing something to, what, disconnect and do something to make you feel free, right? You're trying to get away and disconnect. Some of us are better at that than others, and some aren't so good at that, right? But that's what we're doing. You're feeling free. And then when you go on vacation, you make this statement. You say, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. Tell me you don't say that, right? You're like just free, you know? And you're saying, I don't want to go back. And I tell you, we say that a lot. We love our church family. We miss our church family. But, you know, sometimes we all say to ourselves, man, I don't want to go back. Well, we don't mean that. But what you're saying is, I feel free. I feel free. And that's a summer road trip series that I want to do for the next couple weeks. And then next week, as Pastor Mike spoke to, we're going to do baptism. And it will be the perfect conclusion of a two-week series of summer road trip, being free. And you'll watch the series I'm going to preach in the next couple weeks come alive next week. We have so many people getting baptized. It's a big baptismal class next week. And here's what is so special. Not only the adults getting baptized, we do baptism twice a year. We have children being baptized. Children are being baptized. They want to be baptized. They understand what that means. And thank you, Pastor Amber, for doing your class this morning. They know what that means. So today, on this summertime, this road trip that we're going to go on, today I want to speak to you about running free. Now, the next couple of weeks, folks, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit different than what I would probably normally do. And I'm going to start this morning with a little bit of a history lesson, if you don't mind. I want to do a history lesson because I think we probably all know most of the history here in our country, but I want to do a little bit of a history lesson. We are about being free, right? We celebrated freedom, Memorial Day, being free because somebody sacrificed for us, right? We did that here just a few weeks ago. This past week, we celebrated Juneteenth, and that's up and coming and new. It's celebrating our just celebrating with our black brothers and sisters that they are free, right? The country was free in 1776, right? Independence. We're going to celebrate independence on July 4th, right? A little history lesson. But Juneteenth is celebrating the fact that our black brothers and sisters are free from slavery. The sad part is it took almost 100 years for them to get that. After 1776, 1865. Crazy it took. What's wrong with us, right? And we celebrated that this past week. And we're going to continue our celebration, but I want to give you this little history lesson about this freedom in our country. There's this common American understanding of freedom. Patrick Henry said it back in 1775. Before independence, he says it, give me liberty or give me death. They realized that there's a war coming with Britain. They wanted independence, and he makes that proclamation. And today, we, as Americans, issued its Declaration of Independence in 1776. We celebrated that. It's stated like this: all human beings are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. Undeniable is what that means. They're undeniable. Your Creator, the God in heaven, gave you something. And that's what they're writing about. Among that is life, liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. And ever since Americans have made liberty, ever since 1776, liberty or freedom has been their most cherished and greatest value. We in this country value freedom. And every one of us as I do a history lesson, we've got this perspective of what freedom is. And we celebrate it, like I just said. And for Christians, it looks different probably than non-Christians. And we look at that word liberty and we say, what is that liberty? It's kind of two things. It's being freed from some type of foreign rule. That's what happened back then, right? We were freed. We made ourselves independent. And then it's also talking about being independent or freed from any type of government control over us. Oh, Pastor, I think the government controls us a lot. Maybe. But it doesn't mean we want that. Some would say, I don't think they do, and others would say, I think they do. But regardless, that's what the liberty was being discussed and what we pushed for liberty. So today, my question is, what does freedom mean to most Americans? What does it mean to you, and what does it mean to me? Freedom in America is viewed as a license to do as we please. A license. But no one tells us what to do or how to live. No government regulation, no social convention, no institutional authority, including the church, we feel. Our family pressure should keep us from doing what we want to do. The ability to do what we want. Today we call that free to be me. I'm going to do what I want. No one's going to tell me. I think that that concept of free to be me has been larger today than ever, because now we have definitions of what that means. And some people say it means this. Other people say it means this. Today, your pastor's going to take you down a different road for the next couple weeks and talk to you about what it means to God, what it means to heaven. It's a egocentric kind of view. It means, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? It's not necessarily God's perspective, but it's what we end up with. And it's permeated groups and societies and clubs and corporations throughout our land, and that's kind of how they've hunkered down. That's what they call it. God calls it different. Now, church, God desires for us to live free. Back when the Israelites were held in captivity in Egypt, we've talked about this many times. Seven times, God spoke, let my people go. They are physically enslaved, let them go. So from day one, back to Genesis and Exodus, you know, he's saying, I want you to be free. Freedom means different today. And it certainly means something different to God. It goes like this. Freedom God granted Israel became a fitting picture of the spiritual freedom God grants us today in Christ. God wants you to be free. Church, biblical freedom is different from American freedom. It's different. It has some overlap, but it's very different. And the Apostle Paul taught us, as I will teach you today, writing to the churches in Galatia, modern-day Turkey. What does this look like? I thank the Lord that he laid down this foundation of what freedom really means. Because when we take off on a summer road trip, we're allowed to take off on a summer road trip. There are people in the world that cannot do that. And there are people that cannot take off on a spiritual journey because they are not free to do it. The Apostle Paul taught us all of this, and I want to teach you that today, church. I want to teach you what the Apostle Paul says. He's writing a letter in Galatians. He's writing a letter to the Galatian churches. They're new, right? They're popping up all over the place. And just like we today, there's this situation going on in Galatian churches. And he recognized it. And the situation is this. They fight. They disagree. I know that never happens in our society. But they fight and they disagree. And they're fighting and they're disagreeing on some theological issue of what do we do now? This guy shows up telling us that we no longer have to live by rules, regulations, and regimen. We get to live a moral life because Jesus just blessed us with accept me as Savior and then you are set free. Now, that's a huge difference for these churches. And Paul comes in and starts talking and preaching about all of that and telling them it's going to be different. But you've got all these people that are rising up in these churches and saying, wow, yeah, I think you got to still live the old way to get to a new way. In fact, church, a lot of these Jewish teachers back then would tell you that if you weren't living the old way, the rules, the regiments, the routines, the law, the Mosaic law, if you're not living that, you can't get to Jesus. And this guy shows up and says, oh, yes, you can. It's different freedom than what you thought it was, or what you've lived for all these years. And it's called legalism. Now, legalism isn't in the Bible. The word legalism is not in the Bible, but legalism is a system of rules, regulations for achieving both salvation and spiritual growth. It's the law of how it's done, right? And these legalistic Jews in the Galatian churches, some of them very false teachers, were trying to convince everybody, you've got to stay doing it this way, or you can't even consider getting to this new way of Jesus. Can't do it. You've got to go through this. And Paul's saying, that's not right. You got to be free like that anymore. That's not how it works. And he's teaching them, there's salvation by grace. That's a gift because you know Jesus. And nothing that you do in your life, there's no works that you could do. There's no process that you don't have to do any of that any longer. You just get to accept the gift. And he's laying this off. So they fight. There's a discussions. There's arguments. There's strife. And I'll get to that in a second. There's a lot going on. This doesn't sound like anything you know of today, right? But there is strife going on. They're not getting along. And Paul writes to them, he says, listen, in Galatians 5:1, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The very reason this Jesus showed up was for freedom. See, they're thinking, though, the freedom that they know and how they did it before. This guy shows up and says, no, we're going to do it this way. Well, how do I know? And they get conversations and all this. And these people would rise up and start talking against it. Others would rise up and talk for it. That caused a lot of problems theologically. But he says it's for freedom that Christ made us free. Then he says, listen, stand firm. Then, and do not let yourself then be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. I'll get to that in a second. It's the biggest scripture that Paul writes about, the biggest verse about this is freedom. Christ is freedom. And everything that you know and everything, the way you've been living, and all this comes down to Jesus gave us a new way. Gave us a new way. The legalism, the Jewish teachers, and all that stuff that started to rise up in the theological discussions and whatnot, like we've got that still today. Who is Jesus? Who is God? Who's the real God? You know, you got 3,800 religions throughout the world doing this discussion. It's never changed. And every one of them says they're right. Right? Can you imagine what's going on back then? Jesus shows up to deliver them from all of this to say, I've got a new way. Paul is saying the very rules that guided their lives enslaved them now to a process that had no power to save them. He has a scripture here, I just read it. It goes, burdened again by the yoke of slavery. When you start thinking, folks, as he writes to them, if you start to think that you have to go back to this old way again, the scripture, again, the word again is huge there. If you have to go back again, church, if you have to go back again to do something, that you have to go back again, when Jesus has already delivered you, you don't have to go back to again. You don't live there anymore, is what he's telling them. Just like today, church, you don't live in depression any longer. You don't live there any longer. You don't live in the failure. You don't live there. You may decide in your life to be burdened and again go back to slavery. That's what he's telling them then, and that's what we still say today. And that word again is such a powerful word Because the word again is you got to make a choice. He says you got to make a choice. You'll be weighed down with this legalism. You'll be weighed down with the situation. You'll be weighed down with rules, regiment, and all the things that you think you have to do still. You can go back to the old way. But Paul stood against all that. Why? Because Paul had something better. Paul had a better way. Somebody say better way today. A better way, a better life, the mission of Cross Point Church. A better way, a better life. And this guy shows up to the Galatian church and says, I got a better way, I got a better life. And we got to decide. He says, you got to decide. You want a better way or the better life? You want to be burdened with the old thing? You got to be burdened. What do you want to do? And Paul differentiates between this law and grace. In Galatians 5:4, he says, listen, for if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, he's talking to him now, listen, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. See, in ancient Greek society, they fought. Now, I just mentioned that. I know it doesn't happen today. People fought. People argued a lot. Cities fought one another. They argued a lot. The states within the country, they fought a lot. And this kind of fighting kind of was resonating throughout the land. He knew that. Paul knew they fought, and they didn't get along, especially if they didn't agree. So here's this big theological issue, and they're doing that very thing. But see, folks, strife and fighting was normal back then. It was normal. They felt like if they weren't fighting or striving or doing something and arguing or having some tension, that it was a normal thing. Can you imagine that happening today? It does happen today, right? It happens today. Does that remind you of any place today, church? Right? So there is two ways they decide to deal with this. How do we navigate, Paul? How do we navigate their way through such a issue of this freedom? How do we get through this theological discussion? How do we do it? Because these people fight a lot. And there's like two ways that they dealt with it. Kind of like maybe we do it today. The first way they dealt with it was just some type of competition. Some type of competition. We're going to resolve this conflict by some type of competition. I'm not saying they duked it out fighting, but some of them did. But they had some type of competition. You do the research, that's what they did. They had this conflict. They thought they could resolve these conflicts by having some type of competition. And what that really means is, we'll do this, and whoever wins, wins it all. We're going to go this way because we win. If you do it my way, folks, and I win and you lose, then I win and you lose. But if we do it your way and you win and I lose, I lose. That's a no-win game. Why? Somebody loses. But Paul shows up and says, I got something different that you're not going to lose by. Right? I'm telling you, don't lose in my way. So there's not going to be any conflict resolution. There's no competition. And so he's giving them something, right? So he warns them in Galatians 5:15, he says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. He recognized that they liked to fight. They liked to have competition. They figured it out, and somebody would win, somebody would lose. Listen, don't do that back and forth. You don't need to do this. Not going to get you anywhere. Some of them figured that out, and some of them did not. That kind of behavior, church, it was fulfilled in history in ancient Greece. Rival states fought each other. Rival cities fought each other. They're looking for dominance. In the Greek world, this process weakened people. It weakened cities. It weakened the countries so much that the Macedonian imperial power invaded Greece, and no city or state could successfully defend it because they were so weakened by fighting one another. Does this remind you of any country that you know today? Does it remind us of anything like today? As we go out on our summer road trips to vacay in the country that we love, does it remind us of anything going on here today? Right? It does. There's a second way they navigated some of these problems. The second way was, let's just compromise. I got a compromise. Have you ever heard that? I got a compromise for you, right? I got a compromise. What does compromise mean? It means that you'll get a little bit of what you want, but you'll have to give up a little bit that I want. And there's some, what they call, common ground in the middle, right? Now, can you see the Apostle Paul's face as they're trying to figure this out? Well, we'll do these laws, the Mosaic laws, the way we used to do them, and then we'll do this Jesus thing the way I'm telling you. We'll figure this all out, and we'll just make this compromise. Lord, thank you. That didn't work out, right? That would mean you are pitting law against the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, church, where is the compromise there? Where is the compromise? There is no compromise between the two. And Paul recognizes that. Says that way that you're using now, it ain't going to work. Because I have a better way, a better life. I'm offering you a better way, a better life. That you don't have to have rules, regiment, and routines any longer. To have a moral life and to be set free. And he's teaching them this. So his concept of freedom shows up in Galatians 5, 13 through 14. He says, live by the Spirit. He goes like this, you, my brothers and sisters, you're called to be free. You're called to be free. But don't use this freedom that I'm preaching on, right, to indulge your flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Like your pastor just spoke to when I walked in this morning, I am just people that are free, serving humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, just love your neighbor as yourself. I watched them walk through the parking lot this morning, and I was just filled with gratitude and love. Servants coming in to serve the Church of Jesus Christ at Cross Point. You recall freedom to be free, brothers and sisters, but don't use that freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. No competition. Be slaves to each other. What a radical concept that Paul introduces to a society that fights all the time with a lot of competition and a lot of compromise. He comes and you don't have to do any of it. I have the model. For the whole law is summed up, watch church, the whole law that he's talking to them about, the whole laws that they wanted to live by still, some of the stuff that they're still entrenched in, they can't get over the rules, the regulations, the routines, all those things. He comes right down and he says it like this. It's summed up in one commandment, just love your neighbor as yourself. And all will be well. I see nowhere in there that he says you're going to be free because you agree with him. Nowhere in there it says you're going to be free because you're going to, whatever. It just says, just love them. Love them. They're going to have some issues, but let me tell you something. You got issues too. You got issues too. So you don't need to have competition to figure it out. You don't have to have this compromise to figure out. If you just loved them and loved on them. And that's what Jesus came to do. And he says, listen, church, that'll set you free. What a radical change. What it does is it eliminated this thing called the egocentric view. What's in it for me? It was gone because that's how they were living. What's in it for me? I got to do this for me. I got to do this for me. And so that type of freedom did two things, and I want to give those two things for you real quick. It allowed the use of those God-given gifts, talents, skills to serve others. You have been blessed, he's telling them. You've got something to give somebody else to benefit them. And that's why I knew I was preaching this message today, and I watch all these people walking in and all the activity of the church at 8 o'clock in the morning and all the, from the worship team to the coffee to all, the, and then the people that come in, just the fellowship to serve somebody else. He says, that's what you got to do. That's all you have to do. This is it. He tells them that's what it is. Use those God-given gifts. Use those God-given talents. Use them, but to serve somebody else, not for you. God did not give them to you for you. He gave them to you for somebody else. And then he says, allow us to serve one another in love. and to receive love and service back from them. Serve one another in love, and then be okay with receiving back from them some love and service to you. The Church of Jesus Christ, the free church, to serve somebody else. To serve somebody else. And he's telling them, here you go, church. The thought will bring it home. When we live in love and service to others, we find ourselves becoming individuals that God created each with this uniquely talent, to be uniquely you. Right? Uniquely. Our own personal fulfillment is this unexpected byproduct. Serving somebody else, the unexpected byproduct is you get something from it. You get fulfillment. And Paul says that's called Christian freedom. It's not American freedom. It's not the rules, regulations, or regiments that you're living by, but I'm going to give you something new. It's called Christian freedom, and all you got to do is love somebody else and serve them. But then, some obstacles showed up, just like today in our country. These obstacles showed up. Let me give you a couple obstacles. Social pressure showed up back then, just like today. Social pressure, society pressure showed up. Family expectations showed up. We don't do it like that in this family. Have you ever heard that? We don't do it like that in this family. We do it like this. We like the rules and regulations and routines back then. Today, what is that? The family expectation is X, whatever that is. That shows up as well. That's an obstacle. Guilt and shame showed up because you're not going to do it the way you used to do it because Jesus delivered you from that, but you're guilty. You're feeling shameful. All these things start to show up in your life. Back then and today, some distorted thinking showed up. Trying to figure it out, like how do I compromise? Can I use some of these laws? And then this Jesus thing and figure it out so I keep my family happy over here. And I think that Paul's writing is right. I'm feeling that. The Holy Spirit's like, right? So I'm feeling that. Can I do that over here? Can I figure it out? And I can be in the middle someplace. In the middle. Right? In the middle. Here's another obstacle that showed up. Political or economic oppression showed up. What? We don't do that here. Excuse me, folks. We don't do that here. That's not the political climate of the day. We don't do that like that. Discrimination showed up. Different people. I can't serve these people. They look different and act different than me. Can't do it. That showed up as well. Spiritual people that were wounded was an obstacle. But let me tell you the biggest obstacle that showed up, church, in Galatians 4:3, as Paul tried to get them to understand, just like today. And he writes, he says, and that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. That world then, this world today. His biggest concern was all the spiritual principles back then and today, right? Paul calls them the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Ephesians 3:10, when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety for all the unseen rulers. How many have an unseen ruler in your life? An authority in a heavenly place. Not heaven, but some other. Make it an impact on your life. So you're not going to follow Jesus and be free like he wants you to do. There is some spiritual force pounding on your church. You're going to watch people get baptized next Sunday. And I told them in our class this morning, I pray for a good week for you this week because I got a feeling the spiritual forces, the unseen spiritual forces, I got a feeling are going to come against them. They don't want them coming out of the water into something new for Jesus. They don't want freedom in your life in Jesus. Go back to the rules and the regulations and the regimen and everything that we used to have and how you used to do it. I could manipulate that a little bit more. I could hold you there a little bit more. I don't need you doing the Jesus thing. You don't need this grace thing. Paul recognized that. It was a powerful force. Today we might describe them as a systematic structure or mindset or expectation that governs the way the world operates. And Satan is the driving force of it. Are you seeing this yet today, church? Here's something for you. We're in an election year. And we're going to see this more than ever. Right? We're going to see this more than ever. Church, I challenge you, don't sacrifice your Christian freedom for some political position. Don't sacrifice your Christian freedom that I'm preaching about today, that Paul wrote about to the church in Galatia, don't sacrifice that for some political position. Church, no political position is worth sacrificing the Lord Jesus Christ for. None. I don't care what party you're at. You know me by now. I don't care. I don't care about the parties. I don't care about the positions. I care about some positions. I take that back. But I'm not going to sacrifice my walk with Jesus because I'm trying to convince somebody of some political platform. Not. And Paul says, listen, the pressure is going to be hard. It's going to come at you. It's going to be tough for you. But Jesus overcomes all that. The power of the grace that he is offering and I am preaching and teaching about is more powerful than all the rules and regulations that you live by. Just more than that. He said those spiritual disciplines are so deadly. He says you need to be protected. And I'm going to jump to Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, because this is how he says to the church of Ephesus, how you do it. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in power. Put on the full armor of God. See, the problem was spreading. It's not only in those churches, it's in other churches. He says, listen, take a stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, rules and regulations. It's against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. He continues to talk about it. And you know, church, in that mess that goes on then and the mess that goes on today, Paul gives just powerful witness and wisdom. In Galatians 3:24, he says, let me tell you another way. So here we go. He's telling them another way. You believe all these rules, regulations have to be adhered to. You believe that you've got to continue to do that. That Mosaic law is entrenched in your life, but let me tell you another way. I love John Musgrave for the Ohio Ministry Network, who's retiring in a couple days, officially. John's been sending me a text message every morning to me personally, saying, Pastor, here's my word for you today. John, thank you. But he would always say this phrase, and everybody that knows John Musgrave knows, may I suggest? May I suggest you do this way? Pastor Mike attested that. Is that not right? All the preachers around here that know and the people that know John Musgrave, we love him. May I suggest? In other words, he's saying, listen, you're doing it wrong, but I'm going to tell you right, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. So may I suggest? Right? Because he knew how to do it. So it's not feeling like it's competitive. It's not feeling like some compromise. I'm just going to suggest that it's your choice whether you do it. So Paul says in Galatians 3:24, he does the same thing. Let me put it another way. It's, may I suggest, this law was your guardian until Christ came. It served you well. You used it. Sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad, but you used it. But now that Christ came and protected us until we made it right with God through faith, it was the way that he used at that time. Jesus showed up, and may I suggest there is now a better way. There's a better way, church. There's a better way to be free. There's a better way to be delivered. He's saying, may I suggest. In Romans 3:21, he says it like this, but now God has shown us the way to be made right, that means free, with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. God's showing you. He's giving it to you. Thoughts like this, church. The Christian life is characterized by joyous freedom to follow Christ out of love and not dreadful life of following some rules. It's liberation time. It's realizing that if you want to be blessed, that you want to feel that transformation power in your life, just go serve somebody and love somebody else. And the unexpected result, well, you will be blessed. That was his message. Christ set us free to live free. Church, if you're not feeling that today, you're not living it. If you're sitting here today, church, or watching online, and you're saying, Pastor, I don't feel that, and you're not living it. So I challenge you to walk across a parking lot at 8 o'clock in the morning and serve at the church. I challenge you to not leave a church, but to invest in a church. Somebody said this morning in our class, tell me about membership. I said, that's an investment into the family of God at Cross Point Church, saying, I'm going to serve. I'm going to stick around, and I'm going to invest. The very thing the Apostle Paul was saying, this is what you got to do. I'm going to serve. There's an appeal today from your pastor that said, we need cleaning people. We need 4 cleaning people. We're making a change to keep God's house clean and tidy. It's a big building. And I knew before I walked in here, I knew that there was going to be 4 people that would say, that's me, Pastor. I think, as you know, as your pastor, I say this often, that the cleaning team is the most unsung heroes of the church. Because I walk in on a Sunday morning or a staff meeting on a Monday morning or whatever, and somebody served. And the offices are clean, and the bathrooms are clean, and it's nice and tidy and respectable. Because somebody that doesn't have their name up on the screen on a Sunday morning, or they just, they're probably the unsung heroes. My life, my heart, everything goes out to people like that. I am so humbled with gratitude today. We're free because we have people that serve. We're serving. John 8:36. How do you say it any better? So if the sun sets you free, you got to be free. You're certainly free indeed. And Paul is saying that to that church. I got you a new way. That's bad preaching, right? I got you. I got a new way. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. It beats everything you're doing now. What do you have to lose? Is what he said. What do you got to lose, church? There's no drawback. You kind of don't like what you're doing anyways. Give this a try. And it wasn't some fairy tale. They heard Jesus. They knew about Jesus. Paul describes the byproduct of Christian freedom. In Romans 12:11, he says, listen, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. The passion version, boiling hot. Is your passion today for Jesus and serving boiling hot? We get the great summer road trip and get off on the summers to re-energize us to maintain a church that's boiling hot come September. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement to serve him. Church, is that you today? Is that me today? Are we going to remain enthusiastic like the Apostle Paul says? Serve somebody else. Be enthusiastic. That's the model of freedom. In an election year, I don't know, somebody's always telling me something contrary to what they said last year. But here's what's not ever changing. It's the model of freedom that the Apostle Paul introduced to us. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. It never changes. That's the freedom I serve. Is that us today? Is that you today? Are we remaining enthusiastic to serve one another? Human beings are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, undeniable. That among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Church, the only way that you find life and liberty and have the pursuit of happiness beyond anything you have ever experienced is to lay down your life and say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior to rule over me. That is biblical Christian freedom. Church, I'm going to give you the opportunity before you leave here today, and if you're watching online, I'm going to give you the opportunity to reignite your passion to serve others, reignite your walk with Jesus, and walk out of the church on a warm June day. Before or after you take a summer road trip and say, boy, I've got this gift. I got a gift. Bow your hearts with me today, church. If that is you today, and you say, Pastor, I want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want the biblical model of Christian freedom that Paul writes about. I want this to be instilled in my life. I'll never leave it. If that is you, and this is the first time you've ever done it, do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you today. Is there anybody? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? There's some of you maybe that's sitting here today or watching online. They're saying to themselves, you know, I just need to rejuvenate myself. I need this vacation time to get away and rejuvenate. What we need is a rejuvenation and a rededication to the Lord Jesus Christ, the next level. That's you today. I want to pray with you. I'm not calling you down front today, church. I'm just going to pray. If that is you today, say, Lord Jesus, give this new freedom. Give this me. I need another portion. The Bible says it's a double portion. I ask for a 10-time portion. Is there anybody here today that says, I need that to slip up your hand? I would like to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hands. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. There are hands everywhere. Church, let's pray, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, for the ones that raised their hand today for the first time, Lord, I pray that you flood them with that freedom, Lord God, that I preached about, that freedom that the Apostle Paul introduced to the churches in Galatia. Lord, I pray right now that they are rejuvenated and changed, transformed. That they run hard after you. That you make yourself real more than you ever have. Lord, I pray today is a special day. This June 23rd of 2024, Lord God, let them remember this day forever and ever. Lord God, I pray and I thank you for their boldness to slip up a hand. Now, Lord God, as your scripture teaches us, you will reveal yourself day in and day out. And I pray those people get plugged into their local church here at Cross Point. Lord, I pray that they will come on a Wednesday night. They'll come on a Sunday morning. They will get plugged in. They will serve. They will serve each other. So they will be served. In Jesus' name. Lord God, for those that said, Lord, I need a rejuvenation, Lord. I need a change. I need a little extra portion today. I need a double portion. I need some extra. Lord God, I'm serving. I need something more. Lord God, help me. And they slipped up their hand and they said, Lord, that's me. That's me. And I'm going to pray. I pray as pastor today. Lord God, bless them. Rejuvenate them. Restore them. Let them leave here today and hit their parking lot and feel that power that freedom brings that Paul writes about. For those online that are raising their hand, doing the same thing. For the people listening to the podcast throughout this week, doing the same thing, I challenge them to raise their hand and say, yes, Pastor, that's me. To show up on a Sunday morning at Cross Point Church or turn on their device and continue their walk with Jesus in freedom. I pray this, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who makes us alive and free. Amen. Stand with me, Cross Point Church. Jesus makes you free today. Christian freedom. And that makes us alive and free. Let's sing it together. God bless you.